Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with your hosts, Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. And our phone number here at the station is 760-337-8874. And don't forget to catch us on our podcast on KXORadio.com.
That about covers it.
No, yes, I'm Scott.
She's Maria. And to our right is Dominic Vallejo. He's a mental health rehabilitation technician.
Good morning. Good morning.
For the county.
He's back.
Thank you very much. And it's a pleasure.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, last time we left in the show, he goes, come back soon. I didn't think it
little
was going to be.
I didn't think
it was going to be this.
I'm glad it's this soon.
So let's just throw this out and run with it.
Sure.
337-8874 if you got questions or comments today. Is the only time we can change January 1st with New Year's revolutions or whatever?
What are you talking about? I have no idea.
I mean, isn't that the only time that we can ever kind of self-examine ourselves and say, okay, this is working for me, maybe this isn't working as well.
No, it's all the time.
And then I can write stuff down and good because...
Don't confuse me, Scott.
It lasted like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I was a little bit confused there for a minute myself.
Yes, I have no idea. Just say it out.
Yeah.
That was the whole point, right?
If I'm confused, a lot of our listeners will also be confused.
Okay, so January 1st, New Year's resolutions, not revolutions.
It's not the revolution, is it?
Well, it could be revolutionary.
It could be a revolution, especially when it comes to change.
One would hope. But it's like you know, in kind of pop culture, it's like the change window, right? I mean, it's like, okay, that's when you're supposed to do it.
No, it also happens on your birthdays.
Oh, really?
Yes. You know. Now that you're going to turn 30, 40, 50, 60,
it's
whatever.
It's time to start acting like a grown-up.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, or when you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Or when you have a baby. Yeah. You know, you know that you're having a baby and
that
you know
is
what?
Trouble.
I'm gonna change my lifestyle now.
Sure. Ooh. Or when you get the bad news from the doctor.
Or when you graduate from high school.
There you go.
Or college.
Ooh, you're right. You're at high cholesterol scores and stuff like that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of points in our life that makes us, you know, milestones are...
When the doctor leans over and says, have you ever heard of the body mass index? And you're like, no. He said, well, you just set a record.
No, that would be bad. They would just send you straight to the hospital.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So what we're going to talk about today is change, right? And we're kind of warming up by saying there are some moments where change kind of jumps up at you and says, hey, look, pay attention to me. It's time to get moving here.
Yeah, definitely so. And that's an excellent topic to cover.
Is it to our advantage, perhaps, to kind of regularly schedule noticing change opportunities? Or do you think we can just wait for the doctor's bad news or the baby or the New Year's? Or do you think there's enough moments in life that just pop up that give us those moments, those little windows of change? Or should we kind of keep an eye on it?
Oh, sure. I think there's plenty of moments that offer the opportunity for change. It's whether or not you're aware of it. I think that's what makes the big opportunity.
Okay. So maybe one of the ways you could be aware is by kind of scheduling
a certain time and a place.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Okay, well, so how am I doing? Is this working for me?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess that's what's, journaling. Or just in general, I mean, you know, I think it's always good to just do status checks and just check out where you are at this point in time in life. However, sometimes those little status checks can sometimes be awful moments as well.
How so?
Well, you know, I mean, if you look at your current circumstances as far as, let's look at the unemployment rate right now, for instance. You're looking at a circumstance right now where a lot of people, from what I understand, since running the class of the life skills that I mentioned earlier in previous show, you know, you've got a lot of people that are actually in the contemplative state of actually if the valley is economically correct for them at this point in time. You know, should I stay here? Should I go somewhere else? You know, or CalWORKs, for instance, going to CalWORKs and signing up for the services, is this the right move that I'm making? You know, I don't have any money. I know that, but I also know that I don't want to be told what to do. You know, I'm an adult, and part of being an adult is being an individual and being independent.
Yeah, I'll hear that, because that's one of my weaknesses is I'm so, you know, I don't want people to tell me what to do. You know, I'm very, it even goes again, you know, law enforcement, immigration.
And but, you know, last thing you do is wait in line for someone to tell you what to do.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. And it's, yeah, that must be difficult for adults, you know, and especially if they were the the breadwinners, and they're the ones that head of household that made the decisions, and now they no longer have a job. Maybe they don't even have a home anymore, and now they have to go someplace where people are going to tell them what to do,
yes,
and
exactly.
when to do it, and when to do it, and
and exactly. Sometimes the message doesn't get conveyed, or it doesn't get the message just doesn't get sent in the proper way sometimes. You know, I mean, dealing with some people that are dealing with circumstances such as losing their home, losing their car, losing their job, having children, and facing the unfortunate circumstance that I am not in control of this right now. And what do I do? You know, so I think that there's people at certain points in times in life that like to rely on other people for advice, but solely for advice. And when you're putting your life into someone else's hands, that's going to basically be able to kind of just dictate what you're going to be able to buy next week and what you're not going to be able to buy next week for you, yourself, or your children. That's a really, really, really harsh moment to maybe reflect back on. Going back to thinking about current status, that can be a pretty...
A good example or good change or moment, good opportunity to change is somebody going through a divorce, separate, you know,
oh, yeah.
Especially if they have kids. You know, like you said, they relied on, it was a two-home income, and now it's one-home income, and who's going to take care of the kids? Before it was like a joined together, you know, you take so-and-so to sports, to their activity, I'll take them to school. You know, just who's going to make, now it's just one person.
Yes.
And that's an opportunity. I mean, it's a very tough situation to go through, any
yeah.
divorce, even if it's agreeable and mutual. It's still hard.
Oh, yeah.
are changes really looked at as opportunities typically, or are they looked at as like unavoidable nasty homework that we have to finally submit ourselves
to?
No,
I think, you know, maybe they look at them as nasty, but in the long, it's an opportunity to grow, you know. Somebody who depended on somebody else, which is, it's always good to have both people depend on someone, but sometimes if you can't, if you're a one household, you know, one person household, now it's your opportunity to grow and see, you know what, I can do this on my own.
Yeah, definitely so. And I definitely agree with you. Maybe in the first phase of it, it's, geez, man, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know.
It's hard.
Oh, yeah, you know, because, you know, I think sticking to maybe the unemployment or sticking maybe to a health issue, for instance, you know, a diabetic being diagnosed with diabetes and, a different type of a diabetes where now they are no longer really able to eat any sweets whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They really have to watch their diet, you know, and that's, I mean, that's not the pleasant thing that everybody wants.
We don't,
to hear.
I mean, what is
limitations?
It? We don't like change, you know. We don't, but change is always an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, initially it's viewed as, oh man, are you kidding me? And then once you sit down and you probably do the cost benefit analysis and you sit down and do the pros and the cons against it, then you start to maybe kind of grow into it and kind of realize that, hey, this is really isn't that bad of an opportunity.
You know? So for change, what you're saying is there's kind of an identifiable process that we go through in terms of it, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. I mean,
well, yeah, sure.
Can you mark like stages and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, step one is basically it's a pre-contemplation. And if you really think about what pre-contemplation means, contemplation is basically thinking And pre means before.
Hang on, I'm contemplating. Give me a second.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds good.
All right, cool. Sounds good with me, too. You know, pre-contemplation, the person is often sitting there maybe asking why I should do something. Maybe not even thinking about it.
Like,
maybe,
no, I don't want to be here. I'm just doing it because I'm told to be here.
Sure. It's the person who has diabetes before they went to the doctor enjoying a donut. That's pre-contemplation.
Yeah.
They're not even thinking about it.
Or getting out of the doctor's office and still going and having a donut, you know, or going to having a donut and the espresso, you get the diagnosis.
I'm like, okay, well, so I'm going to go get a donut.
So and not worrying about it, not having any dissonance.
Yeah.
Exactly. And not even worrying about it and saying, oh, they don't know what they're talking about.
One more is not going to hurt.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Doesn't.
And you know what? I know. I have family members that are like that. It's just, you know what? Might as well, you know, just enjoy it while it lasts.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a very, very quick way to go into that pre-contemplative phase, you know. Mm-hmm. Second of all, then we got the contemplation. So maybe you've been diagnosed with a certain illness. Maybe...
Yeah, well, play out your diabetes, that works.
Okay. Diabetes. You've been diagnosed with diabetes, and your doctor tells you, hey, you know... your sugar levels have been high, and as a matter of fact, they're pretty high right now. And you say, well, how high? And they say, well, 195. And you say, well, is that high? And he says, well, here's a chart. And this is basically the way your diabetes has been playing out throughout the week, because remember the monitor I gave you? Well, it has a recording, actually, a device with
nice.
It.
Nice.
So... let's go ahead and
like
look
a probation
at
officer monitoring you or something.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. You
your
know?
Drug test.
But cop.
But you know what? The thing about this one is that it's all voluntary.
Mm, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's all voluntary. So you check yourself if you want to check yourself. You don't if you don't want to.
Okay.
However, if you're checking yourself.
It goes in the books.
It goes in the books. And a lot of people don't realize.
Well, that's
at
a good
times.
Step, checking yourself.
Yes. But then again, a lot of people don't realize, too, that if you're checking yourself, you've already passed pre-contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
You're in contemplative state already, mm-hmm. because you're saying to yourself, I wonder what, you know, if he's correct or not. What is he trying to say to me? Let me check this out. Let me see. You know, so this person has already passed that phase. And obviously, if they're still eating the donuts after
the
doctor's appointment.
Data.
They're gathering data, exactly. They're gathering sufficient information for themselves.
Now, I know anytime, like, for example, when I get in an argument with my 10-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
I really selectively gather data that really is helping me prove my points, necessarily not, like, all the data to make, like, a really good rounded argument. Is that something that people do when they're dealing with change, when they're sitting down to examine the data? Do they tend to gather the data that favors whatever they really want to do?
You know what? I think that that's true. I think that they do. I think the mind has a way and a capability of doing that all on its own. You know, gathering data about specific circumstances. Now, whether or not you realistically want to look at it and be honest about it, that's a total different story. But I think everywhere we go, we're always gathering information. We're always on a constant... we're always feeding our mind full of just what we see, you know, what experiences
we have. As long as it agrees with what we want to think, huh?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. If it fits into the belief of what you think is right or
donuts
wrong.
Donuts are great.
Delicious. Hey.
And look, my number only spiked like 20. That's not that bad, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to get some Krispy Kreme donuts delivered to my house today.
Nice.
Those are special donuts.
Those
I
would
have delivered
very
this
very
morning.
We could have actually tested this one out.
Yeah, exactly. We could have all just sat here with meters.
So you see, you've got this person who's now kind of testing their blood sugar and actually going back to the doctor, which is indication that they're thinking about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure.
They really maybe haven't changed their diet yet, and they haven't really committed to like a lifelong, you know...
No lifelong commitment here.
Sugar-free salads or whatever it takes to get it done.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not looking at this person making
but
a
they're
a
thinking
severe
about
commitment.
It.
Yeah, they're thinking about
contemplating.
It.
Contemplating.
Contemplating about mm-hmm. it. They're thinking about it. Then we move on into this next interesting phase, which happens to be one of the most important phases, is the preparation phase.
Does the light bulb have to go on in contemplation? Do you have to actually flip the switch and say, you know, I'm in. I'm going to do this. I'm quitting.
No, because they can always go to
pre-contemplation.
I'm starting
to exercise.
They might go back to pre-contemplation, jump back.
Yeah, maybe a light bulb experience going on,
it's
or that aha moment.
A commitment. A moment of commitment, I would
say.
A
moment of commitment will come about when it comes down to, you ultimately will make a commitment once you get down into your preparation. When you're in the preparation phase and you're sitting down and you're trying to think about what exactly you're going to limit yourself from, say, for instance, let's say we're going to limit the sweets in my house. Are you going to commit to no longer bringing sweets in your house? We're going to get rid of it today. This is part of the preparation, but are we going to keep them out?
No, everybody likes sweets in my house. I'll just not eat them.
Yeah, huh? So what are you going to do when your sister or your brother's sitting down eating those sweets in front of you?
Vicarious enjoyment? I don't know. Something, huh?
Ah.
Anyway, but I don't know. Let's say I'm thinking about it, right? And I got this diabetes thing going on. And isn't it, I mean, LeBron James actually just shows up at the Miami Heat Arena and dons his Nikes and just does it. You don't, because he's like, you know, there's no preparation. There's no practice. There's no, you know, exercising. There's no 100 jump shots in the gym. I mean, I saw the Nike commercials. It's just do it. It's not prepare it. Is that okay? Does that work?
Well, I mean, you're gonna look at long term change versus short term change.
You're suggesting,
so you're not,
suggesting
words,
it's not gonna work.
So in other words, just it, because that could be go back into contemplation. You can move back to contemplation or pre contemplation if it doesn't. If you just
how about
do
doomed
it,
doomed to failure.
Yeah, if you just do it.
Yeah,
why not? There's no prep. You need to prepare. Okay,
yeah.
You know what? Maybe go to the public health department and get some nutritional, they give away free stuff on nutritional recipes, and mm-hmm. and they give you good ideas on how to make, especially because, or go to the El Centro Regional, they have the diabetes lady, she was here, and talk about, you know, ways to change your habits, eating habits. Go and sign up to a gym, you know, just little things like that. That's your preparing, and that's
yes.
your schedule, and little bit.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Instead of
a gym
doing
that sells great
instead
big
of,
smoothies with lots of sugar.
Instead of doing like LeBron James.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I think that comes across the line where people are, you know, they sometimes see people that are natural at it. We call it natural. You know, oh, well, they don't seem to have to put much effort into what they do. They just seem to just be able to do it. And how do they do that? You know,
and wouldn't it be nice if that worked for me?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then you get this person that, you know, well, you know, I don't have to practice so much, or, you know, I'm natural at it. Well, I have to put a lot of effort mm-hmm. into this. You know, I mean, I really have to put a lot of effort into every single step that I make. And preparation is a very, very stressful stage. It's very stressful.
Is that something life tends to teach you over time? I mean, just in general, that if you don't really, like, actually gear up and prepare for stuff, it's not going to work successfully, consistently?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's why they have, you know, coping skills. You know, these coping skills are there for these moments where life comes at you and it may be a little bit difficult. What are you going to do? Is a coping skill is basically, what are you going to do when you're confronted with the situation?
So it's like a lot of practicing kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're talking big changes here. I mean, you know, maybe after the break we can dive into addictions and mental health stuff, because that's really what you spend most of your day working through.
Oh, yeah.
But even something like diabetes or something like changing your eating habits, or those are big changes. So it's like going on a big vacation. You don't just jump in the car and drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or, you know,
pack. You do
yes, you prepare.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, not having a certain friendship with somebody. You know, you decide along the line that maybe you want to go a certain path in life, and
are you You're trying to tell me something, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so today.
This is a disclosure moment, huh?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's trying to say that we're almost up to a break.
So friendships are, but major changes. The bigger the change, the more important the preparation?
The more important the preparation is, yeah. I mean, because if this is going to be a long-term change, then we probably need to look at this as being more preparation, take this very seriously. And during the preparation phase, not alone, but during that preparation phase, just like Maria was saying a little earlier, that preparation phase alone can send a person back to whatever's comfortable, whatever mm-hmm. they know. Instead of making these stressful changes and all these watchful things that they're doing about themselves, they're actually going to, you know, forget it. This is too much, especially if nobody's noticing.
Mm. So, well, or even if they do notice, let's say I just shut down the sugar shop in my house for that diabetes example, and the rest of the family just goes, like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
I actually like donuts, and my BMI is fine, and yeah. the doctor hasn't told me anything, and so I brought some home today.
Yeah. Why do we have to eat like you?
Yeah.
But if you educate the family on it.
Which is like a preparation
you know
step,
what?
Huh?
Yes. Exactly. You educate exactly. the family, and, you know, have the whole family go and eating healthy, the whole family.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and actually we're going through these stages of change every morning that we wake up. Every morning that you open up your eyes, every morning that that alarm clock starts beep, 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 beep.
Oh, I hate that.
You were asleep. You weren't even thinking about waking up. Then this alarm clock's beeping, and you look at your alarm clock and you're like, oh my goodness, do
press
I really want to get out of bed?
No, dude, you press the snooze button.
Yeah, or you do that, and you go back into the pre-contemplative phase.
Go back.
Or
I like people who totally ignore the alarm clock and don't even stir, and I'm like looking and looking.
Oh, that, yeah.
That is your alarm. You're not even going to get up?
Yeah.
You
that's
hear
pre-contemplation.
The other, yeah,
that's pre-contemplation.
There you go. And then you get
but
up
they
and
do,
you start.
Wait, but they do wake up if the phone rings, their cell phone.
Yeah,
oh, then.
Oh, yeah.
The alarm, they've just that little... beeping of the alarm, it just doesn't faze them.
Yeah.
Okay, so even when we're waking up, starting our day, we're going through the whole stage of change in terms of whether we're going to decide to
yes.
don the gear and show up for battle.
Yeah, and you're going through the preparation when you're showering in the morning, you're choosing your clothes, your breakfast. Everything's going to start your day and continue your day. And the action part is actually doing it. And so on and so on. Maintenance.
Okay, so if you're still sitting in bed and kind of bailed on this whole project today, no, don't feel bad. A moment of self-compassion here. And if you're one of those people that actually made it through those stages of change and you're driving to work, it's about time to punch in, which also means it's time for us to take top of the hour break. This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health. We'll be right back after this short pause.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue.
Welcome back. You're still listening to your weekly wellness radio for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome back. I'm Scott. She's Maria.
And I'm Dominic.
We had a good conversation in between.
Yeah, that will stay in between.
That will stay in between.
You know, but I think even the point of the break conversation was that the stage of change happens with all human behavior. It's just anytime you see a behavior, you can actually trace it back and see how it emerged out of this process of deciding to do it.
Yes.
What about the tough stuff? I mean, you work with people with substance abuse issues and mental health stuff and other stuff. That stuff is always kind of had like a special spot in the stage of change. As a matter of fact, the whole stage of change thing was developed to deal with that first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what happens with like an addiction, for example, something that's really sticky?
And that could be addiction to food.
Sure.
Gambling.
Sure. But it could be heroin.
It could be drugs, alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, and most of the time, what ends up getting getting whatever. In the treatment perspective of drug and alcohol, you often see people that are sent to treatment.
Mandated,
exactly. Court mandated, family mandated. And oftentimes what you see is you have a person that basically is sitting in the room and oftentimes doesn't even know why they're sitting in the room. You know, why am I here? You know, and it's kind of funny sometimes because
I'm here to make the mandated people leave me alone.
yeah, you know, and I mean, and if you want to go that route, we can go that route. You know, that's fine. You know, we could talk about how to get them off of you.
Ooh, it's going to come out the same way, isn't it? Darn it all.
No, but, you know, I mean, oftentimes when somebody is pushed into a change, they often feel like, you know what, somebody's...
Resistance.
Yeah,
resistance
and
you know,
somebody's making
want.
Me change.
Yeah, I'm
well,
not
and
change.
Can it give you false compliance? Yeah. Can I somehow have my cake and eat it too?
Yeah, yeah. Is this all possible?
Yeah,
I mean,
but
can we do this?
I mean, that they can do that. They can be going to groups or going to a treatment, and they're still in the pre-contemplative change and to say, you know, I'm not going to change and, you know, I'm going to get off my parole officer or whatever, my social worker or whoever it is. But, you know what? What if they're testing, you know, checking your, you know, drug testing you? It's going to come out positive. So even if you're...
Yeah.
They're still going to be on
you.
In the
action phase of attending alcohol and drug treatment programs, but in the pre-contemplation phase of stopping using drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, very easily.
So you're actually in the pre-contemplation.
I'm showing up every day.
Yeah, you're, but I don't want to change.
I'm the model group participant.
And I'm not going to, but I'm continuing to use, or I'm going to continue to do whatever it is.
Yeah, and oftentimes you will see that. But, you know, it's kind of like some people look for that aha moment. And some, you know, like for instance, people that go to some certain type of treatment. We have individuals that go to treatment. We have persons that go to treatment, whether it be for mental health issues or it be for drug and alcohol treatment. And they'll say oftentimes, it didn't work. It didn't work. And I personally sit there and I listen to that and I say, well, what was it that didn't work? I mean, was there supposed to be some kind of a magic word or some type of a magic saying that you were waiting to hear in order for this change to occur or for you to kind of be lured in to this was the best thing for you to do? And oftentimes you're not going to get that. You go to treatment and hopefully you're going to get the treatment that ultimately leads you to make the decision about your life.
So it's not like
life.
Just showing up and holding your hands out and waiting for a gift of recovery?
Yeah, just showing up to groups doesn't mean that you're going to
stop
using drugs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we need to really go through this whole preparation like we were speaking about a little bit earlier. We need to really be able to go through this preparation phase and honestly go through it. Sit there in the groups and notice that you have a support system. And not only notice that you have a support system, but notice that you're not alone. And there are probably people in the room that are in the similar stage you're in. And it's nothing bad. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person, and it doesn't mean that you don't have a head on your shoulders. It just means right now at this point in time in your life, you see something more suitable for you.
Does the group process lend itself to this process of change, or is it just more convenient to do four people with the same problem at the same time?
You know what? If you can get a group together of different people, or maybe the same people, I think if you allow the group to work, it'll work on its own. I try to step away from the group as much as possible and leave them in control of what's going to happen, of the environment, of their choices, of their decisions. And I think just by their choices or decisions, they'll come to possibly the realization that, you know what, maybe this is appropriate time to make those thoughts, to make those, maybe go through that contemplative stage there during the group. And who better yet to help them than the people that are in the group? because it's not like we're all trying to judge each other and we're all trying to put each other down here, you know. We're all in the same spot, so let's just work together and let's see what we get out of this. And maybe you have somebody that's already in the action phase. Maybe you have a couple of people in the action phase, and you have some people that are pre-contemplative about what they're even doing there. And somehow it comes to work out where those people that are in action can speak about their experiences. And sometimes that really helps a group out.
Can have maybe even like compassion as terms of, oh, I remember when I thought I could kind of keep this going and everything would be fine and somehow it would just all go away. And
yeah, yeah.
So I'm not the only one having that thought, huh?
Oh, no.
And I'm not, and from what I'm hearing from you guys, everybody else felt that way too, and it didn't work for any of you. So mm-hmm. I can add that to my equation in terms of deciding what I need to do.
Yeah. I mean, can you think of a life without it? You know, I mean, and if you can't think of a life without it, then, you know, let's try to work on that. Let's just try to look at that. Let's try to envision that first. And if we can envision that, then guess what? We're in contemplative phase now, because you've already envisioned something. You've seen it. You yourself developed it. Not the master counselor or anybody else. You yourself.
So this is kind of self-management, but yet we've heard kind of like addiction is a disease, right? We've heard kind of a medicalization of addiction and brain chemistry changes and all sorts of stuff. Yet you're suggesting that a lot of this disease management stuff may be stuff that you can initiate and work through by doing this stage of change.
Sure. As long as you, I think what's really important, as long as you give a person the space, the time, and the real non-judgmental stand, you'll give a person an opportunity to do that self-exploration. And the minute that they don't have that moment to do the self-exploration, I think a lot of those moments are during the times when they're around family members, when they're around possibly friends that don't agree with what they're doing. And just to note, I mean, everybody does something for a reason. You know, I've sat across the table from a lot of individuals that have said to me, I did not mean for my life to be planned out this way. Mm-hmm. My kid's gone from me. My car, I used to be a businessman. I had a family. I had cars. I had a job. I had a house. And everything's gone.
I had health.
I had a good health. And look at me now.
We've talked about pre-contemplation. Preparation. Not the action.
Action.
Let's talk about the action. The fourth phase of the five stages of change.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you know, and the action is just everything that you've planned out. I mean, during preparation, we're doing a lot of planning. Okay. We need to act upon the planning.
And we use the example of diabetes. You know, mm-hmm. the planning part was, you know, maybe going to the public health department, changing your eating habits, maybe going to the gym, starting to do an exercises.
Mm-hmm.
Now the action is what? Actually doing it?
Online blogs to see what works. You know, joining an online blog group or support group of some sort and seeing what's worked for other people, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the action is you're actually doing it. You're starting to cook. You're starting to actually
You're no
exercise.
Longer putting sugar in your body.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very, very common for a person to go into an action and go back to the preparation.
But you know what? If you do these steps, it's so much easier. It's not going to... You can always... Of course, people always, you know, might fail. But it's you're actually making steps. You're preparing. You're moving along the steps instead of jumping into it.
It's like going to a pool. Some people jump in. Put their toe in and run back to the beach.
Yeah. Or it's very common and it's very natural for some of you, like I said.
That's why, you know, and let me just say, that's why a lot of New Year's resolutions fail. Because people just, okay, January 1st, this is it. And January 15th, they're back to work.
Well, you know, and going back just a little bit, it's like, for instance, I have a health problem.
You do?
Well, yeah, I have a couple of them, but. That's a different topic. You know, it's like saying, well, I have a health problem. Well, what's your health problem? I have diabetes. Okay, so what's going on with the diabetes? I have diabetes. You know, and it's really getting down to what exactly is the problem that you want to change. And really being specific about that. And going into that action phase, you may be in full action. You may take everything, like we said a little bit earlier, Scott. You know, we may take everything out of the cupboard, everything that has sugar in it. And then your family comes up to you and says, hey, what are you doing with that? That's my cereal. Why are you taking my stuff away? You know, well, it's because, you know, I'm trying to take care of myself. Well, yeah, you're trying to take care of yourself, but not me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay. I don't have that issue.
Dad, it's Sunday. Why aren't we going to that restaurant? Well, I can't go there because there's nothing for me to eat. Yeah, but we always go there. That's our restaurant, Dad.
Yeah. And then the
education part comes in.
You've already gone into that preparation, and you've already planned how all of that was going to work out. And now you're acting upon it. Well, guess what? You might have to go back to the drawing board to fix that one.
Because you forgot to plan for the social ramifications.
Yeah. Plan for the family. Educate the family.
Yeah.
Get them on board. Get them.
But overall, when somebody's in action, it's not about just wishing.
It sounds like a trial and error kind of thing.
It is. It's definitely going to be a trial and error. Definitely. And there's nothing wrong with the mistakes. There is nothing wrong with them.
It's like trying somebody that's trying to quit to smoke, you know, and they're in the action. They're okay. They did the pre-contemplation, the contemplation, the preparation. Now they're in the action. They're not smoking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But their spouse, who lives at the home, is still smoking.
So,
oh my gosh, you know, what do you do?
Well, that's...
They might just throw you back to the contemplation part of it, you know, just... Not the pre, but the contemplation, you know.
Or your buddy texts you and say, hey, the Broncos are playing. Let's go see Tebow at the bar. And you go to the bar, and all of a sudden...
He's no longer at the Broncos.
Three beers later.
Tebow is no longer at the Broncos. You missed that one.
He's a Jet now, I know.
No, but, you know, yeah, it's absolutely right. I mean, you know, you may have, like Maria is saying, you know, you may have a person, a spouse that you're involved with that, or, you know, the family just in general that maybe... still participates in the behavior that you're trying to change.
Yeah, the drinking, maybe they're alcoholics and, you know, people, you go to a party or whatever and there's just people drinking.
So you've got all these external and internal pitfalls.
Yeah. So you have to prepare. You have to go back.
And you say you
need to, well, maybe you need to go back. You prepare for yourself, but now you have to prepare for in case that other people are still doing the things that you're not doing. You shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
So.
Wait. I got it. There's a problem with error. You said it's okay to make mistakes, but it's not okay not to learn from them.
Oh no, it's well that's
that would be the trick, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well,
that's,
I mean, the whole saying, you know, if you everybody makes mistakes, but you know, if you make
but only
the first
special
one,
people make the
no,
same one over and over.
But you know, what is it? Shame on me, and what is that?
Yeah,
saying?
Yeah. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice.
No.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yes. Something like that. So you just learn. You learn from your mistakes.
Yeah. So it's like a contest. You against the problem. And the problem's going to like try and grab you.
And that's why overall that part of the phase is evidently the most stressful part. I mean, the action itself, I mean, you've already kind of just sat there. And hopefully you have a support system by this time because during the preparation phase.
So the quality of your preparation is key.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Get your head right, get your world right, get your people right, and good to go.
Yep, there you go. Yeah,
absolutely. Now, what is the last phase?
The last phase is the maintenance phase. It's actually maintaining what you
actually...
It's
like a
actually,
car?
Exactly.
You maintain it,
it's
you
just
know,
like a car. It's just like going to the doctor for your yearly checkups. Are we supposed to go every year? Or is it every 6 months now?
I'm a middle-aged male in adult denial, so forget it, man.
We're supposed to go every, like, an annual
when
checkup.
Smoke starts coming out from under the hood, you go.
Yeah. You know, it's just like doing all those preventive things that you would do to possibly your house, to your plumbing, to your car, to your hair, to your nails, to, you know, just to your overall behavior. You know, I mean, you want to stop cussing? You've got to work on that. And you've got to continue to just not cuss.
And so you got to kind of remember that commitment as you go forward. I mean, for maintenance, for something like that, sounds like that's, you know, the key.
Yeah, and overall what you're trying to do with this is you're just trying to make it natural.
So I break the habit, and then I just got to remember that, that was a broken habit, and I don't want to kind of fall back into it.
Yeah. And eventually, hopefully with time, you will just be able to just go on, and everything is just going to come natural, and it's not going to be such of a effort and so stressful, and just it's going to come more natural.
Does that happen pretty much in general, or does some stuff just continue to be the forbidden fruit that you lust over?
You know, I think everybody just, you know, everything becomes very natural, very comforting. You know, I mean, it's like one activity I tell people to do is, you know, simply cross your arms. You know, cross your arms and not only...
Not while you're driving, though.
Uh-huh. No, not while evidently,
you're listening right now, don't... Yeah, okay.
But, you know, I mean, cross your arms and see how that feels. Just pay attention really to the position of your arms and how they're positioned and what hand is underneath what part of your arm. And really get the sense of that comfort that feels. Now, uncross your arms and cross them an opposite way. And tell me how you feel now. And really get a sense of where your hands are positioned at this time. And see if you wanted to go back to that comfort place. See if you wanted to go back to where it was comfortable. And if it's not comfortable, then you can understand how change is uncomfortable for an individual and why some people, you get the saying, oh, they never change. Well, you know, simply cross your arms and see how difficult that is. And then go back 5 minutes, recross your arms again and see which way you cross them. And you're normally going to go back
relapse
to your comfort. There you go. And people feel that the relapse really isn't it's not a single event. It's a prolonged event.
It's just sliding back into an accidental habit that you'd forgotten that you were supposed to not do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because, you know, with habits, there's this whole point of engagement. And it's usually way before you actually are consciously aware that that's what you're going towards.
Yes. Yeah, you know, and any change is good change. You know, I mean, any change is good change. Whatever you want to change
might
about
be tough,
yourself.
But might not be easy.
Exactly.
Well, but you got a life. And you're probably not going to have another life or whatever. It's time limited. We're all pretty sure of that at this point.
Well, yeah, it is.
So why leave it on the table? You know, why walk away from something that could be something that takes you in a direction that you really could go?
Yeah. And, you know, you have people, everybody has goals, everybody has dreams. And it just takes you to just get up and just do it. You know, be a part of that change, you know, and do what you want to do and be what you want to become. You know, and that can happen for anybody. Doesn't matter if you finished high school, doesn't matter if you finished college, you can be anything that you want to be. Seriously.
Right. Yeah. So how was this for you today?
It was excellent. I had a wonderful time, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming aboard today, Dominic.
Thank you.
Dominic will be performing every other week, the Owl, right? No.
Yeah, as a matter of fact. No, I will not be at the Owl or any other place.
At CalWorks. He's at CalWorks right now.
Yeah, yes. If you want to do the A&D thing or the mental health thing, you can catch him over at Behavioral Health. He does do a regular show over here.
Yeah, sure. And I'll be more than willing to sit down and chat with you and just see right where you're at. You know, good old chat. That's all it is.
All right. Thanks for coming aboard today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you all for listening. I'm Scott. She's Maria. I got Mario on the board, the executive producer. He shall have the podcast up in a matter of moments.
Or days.
This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Behavioral Health. Have a safe and happy weekend. Join us again next week.
Yes.
For a more exciting show.
Okay, bye-bye.
Wonderful day.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.